Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Alice G. and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in the foreword to the fourth edition on page XXIII, the third paragraph. Starting with, as the message of recovery has reached larger numbers of people reading that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Dana P., Stephanie L., Dion R., and Lorraine N. is on the 12 Steps, Leslie M. is on the 12 Traditions, and Jody E. is our newcomer greeter, and Betsy H. is doing announcements today. The reference number for March 21st, Monday, March 21st, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 18,713. That's 18713. And the share ID for today, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, March 22nd, is 18,718. That's 18718. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Lorraine N. to read the 12 steps for us, please.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lorraine N. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Oregon. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity to read the steps, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lorraine M. I will now ask Leslie M. to read the 12 traditions, please.
Good morning, Alice. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie M., a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the foreword to the fourth edition on page XXIII, starting with the third paragraph, as the message of recovery has reached large numbers of people, and that paragraph only, ending with, virtually everyone the first 100 members could have hoped to reach. And I will now ask Dana P. to begin reading for us, please.
Thanks, Alice. It's Dana P. in California. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you, Dana.
Fabulous. As the message of recovery has reached larger numbers of people, it has also touched the lives of vastly greater variety of suffering alcoholics. When the phrase, we are people who normally would not mix, page 17 of this book was written in 1939, it referred to a fellowship composed largely of men and a few women with quite similar social, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. Like so much of AA's basic text, these words have proved to be far more visionary than the founding members could ever have imagined. The stories added to this edition represent a membership whose characteristics of age, gender, race, and culture have widened and have deepened to encompass virtually everyone the first 100 members could have hoped to reach. Wowie wow. You know, the word that pops out to me in like a big way, well, a lot of things are popping out to me, is where it talks about this vastly greater variety of suffering alcoholics. And, you know, we're talking about now probably 300 plus Anon groups that are out there that are working these 12 steps in some form. And even within our own fellowship of compulsive overeaters, we span a variety of different manifestations of the disease. For myself, compulsive overeater, vomit bulimic, compulsive exerciser. But ultimately, it boils down to the same thing. You know, it's this human suffering, the obsession of the mind, and it's part of the human condition. Absolutely part of the human condition, the suffering and the obsession of the mind that isolates us from one another. And I just love, you know, so they're talking about in 1939 in the fourth edition, I think that's coming up. That's like even was 20 years ago. But after that, like in 1942 was when Bill came across this idea or was directed to this idea of emotional sobriety, where he wrote the letter to the Grapevine on the what he called the He called it the new frontier, and that's really what it comes to, this idea of separation and emotional sobriety, and that's kind of where it's coming now to me. And the book says it has its advantages for all. So these 12 steps have its advantages for all. And that doesn't mean all alcoholics or all anon people. It means everyone that's suffering with this human condition. And I'm so grateful for this paragraph. It's speaking to the inclusiveness of this disease, this condition of human suffering. And what is that solution? Again, it says it in the book, you know, love and tolerance. Love and tolerance is our code. So I'm not here to judge anyone else, whatever the color of their skin, their ethnic background. That's none of my business. How their disease manifests, it's none of my business. My only business here is to direct people to the path that I took, share my own experience, strength, and hope, and shine the light on this remarkable program with the 12 steps that are our solution. You know, I stop focusing on the problem, you know, stop focusing on the suffering and turn to the solution. So I'm really happy and excited to hear what other people have to say about this paragraph. So I'm going to pass with that. Alice, thank you.
Thank you, Dana P. I will now take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. And remember, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share today? Star 1 to unmute.
Anne B.
Deb E.
Cameron P. I heard someone in with Deb E. Who was that?
Tamara C.
Tamara C. Anyone else like to share on this paragraph today?
Amy N.
Amy N. All right, we'll start with that lineup here. Anne B., Deb E., Tamara C., and Amy N. Anne B., please star 1 to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Anne, star 1 to unmute.
Go ahead.
I heard you say Amy C., and then I wasn't. Okay, so this is Anne B. I'm a compulsive overeater in Westchester County, New York, from Westchester United Intergroup. And I don't like that word recovered, but I have been abstinent for 17 years and I want to stay so. So this meeting is very important to me. I woke up in a bad way this morning. So, yeah, I'm particularly grateful this meeting is here. This paragraph really is reminding me that here in OA, I think we have a lot of work to do as far as diversity is concerned. And I think people are trying to work on it. And to a certain extent, I think we're powerless over who feels comfortable at our meetings. But it certainly has been my experience, even amongst people of a predominant, who are white women, which is our predominant group, that many people find that if they come in as newcomers, their most common complaint, at least that I've heard, is cliquishness. So I think it is really important in terms of carrying the message to welcome newcomers, and to try to do that in a sensitive way. And I hope that we can achieve more diversity. I was really moved at the virtual region convention to see some translation into foreign languages, people coming from other continents. But I think it's on my to-do list and my intergroup's to-do list that we need to move in this direction. So I will pass.
Thank you, Anne B. from New York. Deb E., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Thank you. Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I've just been thinking about the inclusivity that I hear in this paragraph that's already been mentioned, a bit of how, with each edition of the big book, although the main text didn't really change much, the willingness to change the stories and in this effort to make it more inclusive and to appeal to and represent better, to have it be a better representation of what the members look like as the fellowship developed and got bigger. And also, that's what I wanted to talk about, humility. Humility that the writers had of just, not saying oh no, we wrote a book and it's perfect the way it is and it's never going to change and we're going to leave it at this, that they were open-minded enough. I just think about how often my ego comes into play with stuff and how often I have to do a 10-step that's ego-related more than other character defects, and that this book is written by alcoholics and that they likely had a lot of issues with their own egos, and to be able to put their ego aside and have that kind of humility and go we have to keep changing with the times and with the way the fellowship is growing and changing. And the inclusivity part I wanted to talk about was how welcoming this program is to everybody. And I think I shared last week about talking about how, I never really felt at home or like I fit in anywhere else before I came to OA. And that even within OA, I sometimes feel like I don't belong, but sometimes that I feel like I won't be accepted. But that's all about, what my state is on that particular day. And I think we'll pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb E. from Israel. Tamara C., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, everyone. This is Tamara C., and I'm very grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm in California. I love that OA has a message of recovery. I was definitely drawn in by hearing people share their stories and identifying in and knowing, wow, I'm not alone. I was drawn in by the acceptance and the tolerance and the camaraderie. But I stay for the recovery. It's not just that we all have this disease and that we share the same pain, but that we have a way out. We have a solution to my eating problem and to my life problem. In the steps, I've found freedom from bondage to food, freedom from bondage to self, to my old ideas. I don't have to get stuck in my old ideas that drive the fear and anger and harm. I have freedom to stay close to a loving, accepting, tolerant higher power, which the tolerance and love in this fellowship helps me understand the tolerance and love of a higher power. And freedom to trust that higher power's direction and to be growing toward the me that I want to be, to be of service to others and to practice that love and tolerance that I found in OA in all my affairs. So thank you, I pass.
Excuse me, can I be on the sharing list? Thank you, Tamara C. I'm sorry, what was the question?
I'm sorry, I don't think I unmuted in time to join the sharing list. Would I be able to add on?
Oh, I'll take a few more names in a minute, okay? Right now we're going to go with Amy N. Amy N., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Hi, this is Amy N., initially from Ohio, now from Florida. I'm a recovered, not cured, compulsive eater. I am so happy to hear all the shares this morning. Something that really strikes me is how there are so many different people that look and sound different from me that are struggling with the same disease that I have. It doesn't just, it just doesn't affect one person or like type of person or whatever. And the fact that we were not all the same when I came into program was definitely, I came into program and saw a lot of people that were different from me, from my age, from, you know, just from everything. We were from different walks of life. And when I first came in, it was a little bit strange to me. And I was kind of like, I don't know if I really, you know, fit in here, until people started talking and sharing their stories of how they had been just like me in bondage with the food, and now were free, not only from the bondage of the food, but they were actually at peace and learned how to live life on life's terms. And that is what caused me to stay and realize that the differences were actually, now I'm so grateful for them. My sponsor is like 40 years older than me and is one of my, I mean, she's incredible. And so I'm so, so grateful that it doesn't matter. What matters is the recovery and the freedom from the food that we can all achieve together. And the other thing that really struck me was the idea of the emotional sobriety, that when I first came into program, my focus was on the food because it was, I wanted help from the food hell and not being able to stop eating, even when my brain was saying, stop, this is crazy, stop, and I couldn't. And that's why I initially came into program. And then I realized that was just, I learned from others that that was just a symptom of something way bigger. And if all I did was put down the food, then I was essentially like a dry drunk. I still had all the craziness that was there. And actually, I was more crazy if I did that because I didn't have the food to numb all of the feelings and everything that I was having. And so I was encouraged to work.
It's time for you.
Okay, thank you. So emotional sobriety is very important to me today, and I am grateful for this, and I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy M. from Florida. I will now take another list of names of those who would like to share. Star 1 to unmute your phone.
Teresa G.
Teresa K.
Deanna.
Deanne.
Larry G.
Larry G.
Carla C.
Carla? Sorry.
Yeah.
Carla?
Judith R.
Judith R.
Joanne B.
Joanne? All right, this is who I've got. This is what lineup will go with. Everyone, star 1 to unmute. The lineup is Teresa C., Dion R., Larry G., Carla, I didn't catch your last initial, Judith R., and Joanne. And Teresa C., star 1 to unmute and share with us where you're from.
Hi, I'm Teresa G. in Central New York, and I'm grateful and very blessed member of Overeaters Anonymous. And this passage has one of my favorite lines because it is so visionary, people that would not normally meet. And I found that extremely true. But I'm seeing now these virtual meetings and telephone meetings to be the great equalizer. I have never been to an in-person meeting. My nearest one is 40 minutes away, and they meet when I'm at work. So I've been abstinent since August of 21, and I did my 90 and 90, which was completely virtual, and I got my first sponsor, who was in California, and a male, a Spanish male, who's probably about 25 years younger than me. And I couldn't have asked for anything better. I didn't know what to look for anyway, but I was given exactly what I needed. And I found that to be true of this program from its onset. If I just can stay out of my own way, remain open-minded, as honest as I can possibly be in the moment, and willing as only the dying can be, because that's where my disease put me. I'm given everything and then some that I need in this process. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Teresa G. Dion R., star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Yes, hi. Good morning, all. This is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. And the part that stuck out to me today in this reading or paragraph, excuse me, of course, like the former, the previous person just acknowledged was about normally not mixing, but that's something different this time as well. It says, like so many overeaters, it says AA, the basic text, those words have proved to be far more visionary than the founding members could ever have imagined. And they could, and that when they had written it, of course, they had added this part around. And they also mentioned that it's on page 17, which is there's a solution in the chapter, there's a solution. But that same part about people who normally would not mix, right? So, by it being written in 1939, and here is 2022. Ooh, the thing that I'm so grateful for, of course, no matter what age, gender, race, culture, the answer is here, right? The answer was then, and it's at the vision. They had no idea. So it had to be, to me, I'm thinking, Dion, it had to be God-led, you know, for something to continue throughout the ages, fair weather, bad weather, war, non-war, you know, hurricanes, whatever, earthquake, the solution has been the same. I remember reading, they talked about it with somebody in a way in the war and how they would write letters sticking to the solution, the same solution, those same 12 steps. And the traditions were still the same, all-inclusive when it comes to the disease of that particular addiction at that time was alcohol. So now I'm looking at, no matter what, who, whatever, the solution is there. But it's like, what do I want to focus on? You know, sometimes, yes, of course, and that's probably why they started with all these things, breaking it down, the four or five fathers of this program, because they knew we needed it, or higher power knew we needed it, or they was having those problems then. Who should stay, who should get not, what words are important, who's really sad, who's not, you know, who should we empathize with? No, stick with the solution, keep it simple, and the answer is here. The basic text, those words have proved to be far more visionary than they even imagined. And if they were here, they would say, whoa, we didn't know it was going to make that big a difference where this people have recovered from compulsive overeating all over the world. I would say the opportunity, the answer is getting out there, and because we keep it simple. And if we have other issues we need to deal with, there is always other places we can go. But as far as the suffering, yes, ma'am, I hear you. And as far as the suffering of addiction from Overeaters Anonymous, the solution stays the same right here. And I'll pass with that. And thank you, Alice, for allowing me to share. Have a great day.
Thank you, Dion R. Lori G, star 1 to unmute and share with us where you're from, please.
Larry G, recovered, compulsive eater from California. Oh, I am so grateful that the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. This is probably the only organization that I have not been asked to leave. You know, I was asked to leave Letterman's Club, Key Club, High School, Rotary, Young Adult, all of which I was alcoholic at the time. And this is the only organization, the 12-step organization, that I have not been asked to leave. And I'm so grateful that the requirement is that I'm not loving and tolerant of all people. I'm not loving and tolerant of all people. I'm a human being with ordinary strengths and weaknesses, and I have to really work at that. And I know that there's people on this call that probably don't like to hear from me, and that's okay. But I aspire to be loving and tolerant. You know, I'm the kind of person that doesn't mix well in society. And when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous years ago, I found a home because I found people who didn't mix well in society. There was inappropriate laughter and jokes. There was crosstalk. There was advice giving. And I felt like I was at home. And I've never left since then. My wife and I have been around a long time. We're both in different fellowships. And when we got married, we had the most beautiful wedding ceremony. There was only two people there who were normies. Everyone else was from different 12-step programs. We had people from DA, SLA, AA, OA. We had Jews, Catholics, Christians, Buddhists, atheists. You name a wide range. Dear peoples that we all love as part of our family. And I think that's what represents OA today. It's we from different religious, gender, race, we represent all sorts of different people, and we are here together because of one reason, and that is to recover from this disease that just wants to rob us of our soul and completely own us. At least it did me. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. from California. Harla, please star 1 to unmute and share with us the first initial of your last name and where you are from.
Hi, my name is Carla C., and I am from Roseville, California. Very grateful to this program, and I'm just so grateful to my sponsor. This is my second time sharing, and I'm on my 8th and 9th step, and yesterday I got to work a 10th step, and it was really awesome because the person that helped me see that where the fear was, and we did the fear prayer, you know, helped me to remove the fear and become who you want me to be. And I heard confident, and then she said, okay, share with someone else. And I was able to do that. Somebody was having anxiety over their schoolwork, and I said, you know, I don't have any experience with that, but I do hear that it could be some fear. And she's like, oh, thank you. I'm going to go and do some quiet time and, you know, get close to my higher power. And that has been the solution for me, is to get closer to my higher power. So thanks for letting me share, Carla, in California. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Carla in California. Judith R., star 1 to unmute and share with us.
Thank you so much, Judith R., gratefully recovered in Vermont. I am somewhere near ecstasy this morning because I listened to the morning, the 7 o'clock Eastern Time meeting, and it was so good I had to listen to it again. It was like I heard so many people talk about being biracial, being bisexual, being different from others, and having found so much acceptance here. That did my heart and my soul such good. I've been aware for a while that some people of color have not received a warm welcome in program in the past. I hope it was a long ago past, but I'm not sure. And I did find out that we actually have a 12-step program called Racists Anonymous that helps white folks, no, it helps everybody deal with whatever racism they have. So I want to turn all my RA friends on to OA because the meeting was so positive and people have had such positive experiences of being accepted in these rooms. And I am relieved and thrilled and so grateful to Bill and Bob and every single person who's come since then, including all of us, and grateful for this meeting. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Judith R. from Vermont. Joanne, I didn't catch where you're from or your last or first initial of your last name.
Is it Joanne's turn?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. I was unmuting. My name is Joanne B., and I am from Texas. I'm a compulsive overeater and very grateful that I found this program. You know, the part that stuck out to me was a vastly greater variety of suffering alcoholics. And one of my hardest things in walking the journey of recovery is that I easily can say to myself, oh, my story isn't the same. And I had to have people in program, sponsors and other fellows who said, you know, it's not how much you ate. It's not necessarily how often you ate. It's what you did, what you thought about that food and what you did with that food. And it's taken me a long time and I came in at a higher bottom. So to me, I know that there may be a lower bottom that danger of a lower bottom, I guess. I don't know how to say that. But I hold on and listen to those of my fellows who have been blessed with that lower bottom, who I can listen to and learn from and see the similarities and know, hey, this is really me. And then the truth that I don't have to go to that dangerous place. My place was dangerous enough. It was enough that it brought me in here. It was enough that I was desperate and I wanted to die. And I have to remember that. I have to remember that. And I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for this Big Book study group. This is where I was invited when I first was introduced to Overeaters Anonymous. And I'm very grateful for that. And I love you all. And thank you for sharing your experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. from Texas. I will now take another list of names of people who would like to share. We have a time for about four more shares. Star one to unmute.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Reggie O.
Roz G.
One more. Anybody want to take that spot?
And I would appreciate it, please, if the passage would be shared, what paragraph
sure.
We're on. Thank you.
Sure. Okay. I'll take this lineup. It's Robin P., Reggie O., and Roz G., and we are in the forward to the fourth edition on page XXIII, the third paragraph, which states, as the message of recovery has reached larger numbers of people, that one paragraph only. Robin P., please start one to unmute and share with us.
Mm.
Thank you so much. I am Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. Mm-hmm. And thanks so much for your service and everyone who makes this meeting possible. I think some people are unmuted. If you can just check your mute status and press star one, that'd be awesome. I'm hearing someone cough or something in the background. But anyway, if you can just check your mute status, that'd be awesome. You know, I'm so grateful that the primary purpose is focused on, and that anyone, it doesn't matter if I came in here, whatever race, you know, whatever sex, whatever I am accepted as long as I want to stop compulsively overeating, and that I have the desire to recover. And thank God. And I'm so grateful because it's, you know, I grew up in so much shame, and I would always find a reason of why I couldn't be there, you know. And I remember hearing a sponsor years ago say to me, she could always walk into a room and just survey the room and say why she couldn't be close to different people. Or as soon as she started getting to know somebody, aha, that's why I can't get close to that person. And she would keep herself in isolation before recovery. And, you know, I always remember that isolation and illness begin with I, and wellness begins with we. And the more we I have in my life, the better I do. And this is a we recovery. And, you know, I could focus on any reason. You know, it says in the Bible, judge not lest you be judged. And so I'm so grateful for the inclusivity because it just shames me. And I also always remember that that positive vulnerability is the antidote to shame. And I just get to trust in the recovered angel people around me, you know, my God squad, and just keep being a godly person to other people and let them be that to me. And that's how I recover. And if I could have recovered alone in isolation, I would have. Believe me, I tried many, many times, and I'm so grateful for the antidote. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinent day, and I'm so grateful I got to share. God bless you.
Thank you, Robin P. in Costa Rica. Reggie O., star one to unmute and share with us.
Good. Am I unmuted?
You are.
Okay, good. Thank you. Hi, my name is Reggie O. I'm gratefully recovered here in Texas today, and good boy, you know, this is a really powerful paragraph. A lot stands out for me. And first of all, the inclusivity of that, whatever that tradition is, you know, the only requirement for membership is a desire for, you know, for us to stop eating compulsively. That is the only requirement for membership. and this program has literally changed my life, and I'm in another life-changing phase right now, and I am ever so grateful for you know, the steps and the traditions, and at the same time, and I know there's a lot of diversity, you know, in the meetings, no question about that. I don't hear it often, you know. I don't hear it because we're on, you know, it's hard to, well, I don't see it because right now so many things have been on Zoom. But I didn't hear it a lot. I mean, I didn't see it a lot when I was in meetings, you know, the representation of people of color. And I notice on, the line, when people speak, in all the years I've been in Vision, I think I've heard one woman speak of her partner as she. And I know there are a lot more, you know, she's who have she partners and males who have male partners. And I just wonder about that, you know. It's there's something there that's uncomfortable, like for me when I came in and early years ago, and, you know, I heard God and he, and that made me want to run. But I thank God, she, whatever that is for me, that I stayed, because it literally, nothing else would have done for me what this program has. And so I am eternally grateful for recovering and grateful for always another place to go. And I sometimes just wonder within my own self, you know, is there something that I can do to even, you know, to help open up the diversity consciousness, or ease of being in the meetings, or even in getting even more, you know, variety representation into the meetings. And I don't know that, but I'm just grateful for the, you know, I'm grateful for the intention, you know, that everybody is welcome. And yeah, and that we come from, you know, all different backgrounds that shouldn't matter. So thank you all for being there, and great to have the opportunity to share this morning.
Thank you, Reggie O from Texas. Roz G, star one to unmute and share with us, please.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. Spring break for me and at the park with my dog, so you'll probably hear a little background noise while I share. And the step work has given me a confidence in my identity. Because of what's been shared in all the meetings this morning. And for me, I'm Roz. My name's Rosalind Godin. It's French. I'm French Creole. I'm a mixture of Indian, Choctaw Indian, African American, and Caucasian French. Three races. My family comes from Louisiana, and my grandparents left the South because of the racial issues and having to sit, you know, in the back of the bus and go to the back. And I know that this paragraph isn't about that. I'm just saying that I can identify like that and share that in a meeting with no shame, no embarrassment, and no guilt, because the steps have given me a pride in who I am. Through step six, I had character defects, whether I'm white, black, gay, straight, whatever, I have the same character defects as anybody else, because I have sponsored people from all different types of these, you know, of identifications. And no matter what they are, they have the same character defects as I do. So what I learned is how to practice the opposite of those defects, and I still do them every day. You know, I have to pray and ask God to not help me be a jealous woman, to not help me, you know, help me not be a jealous woman, not be an envious woman, not be a prideful woman, not be a woman filled with my ego, whatever I am. We all have it. And thank God that the steps are not partial. The steps serve anyone, no matter where they are. And the OA birthday party does a magnificent job of including everybody. You can find a meeting for just about everybody. And I noticed the last one had Asians in recovery. And I think saying Asian is probably just way too vague. There's so many different ethnicities in Asia. But like it was said, I'm so grateful that all I have to do is have a desire to stop eating compulsively, and that because of the prejudices that I had in the past and the fears that I had about different races or
time
sexual, thank you, identity, I don't have that anymore. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. from Florida. We will now close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Stephanie L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. Stephanie L. here, recovered compulsive overeater in Southern California. And our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.